Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Lord's word. And all I can say, y'all know what I'm going to say, it is a great word this morning. We are in Old Testament Friday, and we have a lot of Old Testament books to go, new books. Whew, it's going to be great. It is great because God's word is great and greatly to be praised. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. And I was just getting off of a couple of times of devotion for myself this morning, thanking God, called Genesis, hallelujah, and the prayers of righteous availing much. I believe in God for those righteous prayers to all be answered this morning. And as I was going through another morning glory call, I'm all filled up. As I was having to leave, it came to the Pastor Wilson's mind that it is the 23rd of December as we get ready to go into the 23rd year. Are you giving God praise today? And it came into my spirit that 2 + 3 = 5, and 5 is the number for grace. God is giving us grace in this next year. God is allowing us to be made new in this next year. God is giving us opportunity to clean up our messes in this next year. God is giving us opportunity and his grace to be debt free. God is blessing his children. Oh, hallelujah. In this next year, God is blessing you now if you're hearing this word, because this word is God's word. And as we go into our word this morning, our title is Suggest Shall Live By Faith, by his faith. We got to live by our faith. Our faith comes from God and his word. Are you living by faith today? Are you just kind of moving along? Oh, God, thank you for this day that you have made, Lord God. I'm all filled up, Lord, because you gave me another day that you didn't have to, but you did. Father God in heaven, I lift up this mighty word this morning. I pray the righteous prayer that those that hear, that those that read it, that they will get something in the depth of their heart, that they will ask, oh God, what can I do to work for you? Hallelujah, what can I do to be saved if they're not saved, God? I lift up this word. I lift up every traveler, God. I lift up every shut in, every family, God. I pray that all are in a place of shelter, that all homeless people are covered, God. They are covered by the blood of Jesus, and you have found them shelter. That no one is outside in this blizzard weather. And that all those that have to travel, God, I pray for traveling grace and mercy. I pray for strength. I pray for mothers delivering babies today. That you, God, are going to bring these children into the world safely, God. Be it C-section, be it natural delivery, however you bring them in, God, give them these mothers, doctors that know what they're doing to bring these children safely into this world. For you, Lord God, are the one that knitted them in their mother's womb. So, Father God, I'm lifting up a special person, and you know her name, God. I lift up my niece today, asking you to keep her covered as she brings a new life into this world, God. May her baby girl, Lord God, be brought to this world happy and whole. So, Lord, I lift up Ebony this morning, believing you, God, that all things are possible and that this baby girl will come in holding happy in Jesus' name. I lift up the word, God, that all listeners and hearers of it and doers of it will be doers of it. That it will not just be something to go in one ear and out the other, that it will permeate and percolate in their heart, God. And Father God, as I lift up this word, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord God, I pray for those traveling again, the highways, skyways, airways. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer and getting Sister Carolyn to her destination safely, Lord God. And we thank you for her word of yesterday and her word for today. And we pray, Lord God, that she has the greatest time ever as she brings in Christmas and New Year with her daughter and family. Lord God, and her sweet little grandbaby, Lord God, watch over her and bless her, God. Give her strength, oh God, and let this Christmas be one of her best. And the New Year, let it be brought in celebration with her family. And Father God, as you bring in this next day, Lord God, as we celebrate your son's birth, let us not forget that he is Christ. And there is no Christmas without him. And Lord, let us remember all those that may be in need to give what we can and to do what we must. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, honor to God who is the source of my strength. And I got my little book because we got quite a few new words to hit this 23rd day of December. And I'm just going to call it this day of grace. Hallelujah. And our first one is Habakkuk. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Habakkuk. And it is, nothing is known of its background. It was written approximately 600 B.C., 10 words or less. Trust God even when he seems unresponsive or unfair. Woo! I got to read that again. What we're going to get out of this word from Habakkuk is trust God even when he seems unresponsive or unfair. We got to trust God. Our word again. The just shall live by faith. We have faith that God hears us. We have faith that God sees us. We have faith that God knows each and every one of our needs. Ooh, hallelujah. And the details, please, for this book is, in Judah, a prophet complains that God allows violence and injustice among his people. But Habakkuk is shocked to learn the Lord's plan for dealing with the problem, sending the bitter and hasty Chaldeans to punish Judah. Habakkuk argues that the Chaldeans are far worse than the disobedient Jews, telling God, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil. The Lord, however, says he's only using the Chaldeans for his purposes and will in time punish them for their own sins. It's not Habakkuk's job to question God's way, and it's not our job to question God's way. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk 2:20. like Job, ultimately submits to God's authority. The quotable, the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2 and 4, that is our word for this morning. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Verse chapter 3, verse 18. The unique and unusual about this word. The Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk 2 and 4 in his powerful gospel presentation in Romans chapter 1. And then our so what? Our world is much like Habakkuk, full of violence and injustice. But God is still in control. Can y'all say hallelujah with me? Whether we sense it or not, he's working out his own purposes. God's got us covered, family. All we got to do is have faith. We got to have faith, and we got to write the vision. Lord, we need peace on this planet. We need peace in our midst. We need children saved, set free, and filled with your Holy Spirit. Father God, we need more of you. Hallelujah. We need more of you in the name of Jesus. And as we go in our word, please join me in Habakkuk chapter 1 through chapter 3. And it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arising. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore persevere. Judgment proceeds. First judgment proceeds. And we're seeing this in our world. Violence. Another, as I'm getting ready for this morning, a pop-up comes of another shooting somewhere. And I didn't read it because it just gets to your spirit. Another shooting. We have seen so many awful things happening in our planet and in our own nation. In my nation, just this year, school shootings, children dying, shootings in grocery stores, folks just going to get their groceries and killed in the grocery store. Can't go to the mall. God is trying to tell us something. Question is, are we listening? And if you go to verse 5 in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astonished, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am rising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, but they heap up earth and mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing his power to his God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, O Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of fewer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look at wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold their tongue when the wicked devour some more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up off of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? Chapter 2. Life lessons will be read after we finish this book. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Are you writing your vision, Sam? And make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Are you living by your faith today? Are you just? Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you writing it down? Are you knowing that you are special because you know who you belong to? He's looking for a worshiper today. He's looking for those that will say, praise the Lord. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases? What is not his? How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty, because you have plundered many nations? All the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nets on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house of many people and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Wow. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives strength to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you. The utter shame will be on your glory, for the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of the beast, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city, and of all who dwell in it. Prophet is the image that is the marker, that its maker should carve it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of it mold should trust in it to make new idols. Come on now. I'm going to make it, and then I'm going to worship it. Please. That's what was going on. They was making idols. They was things made by him. Not worshiping the one true God that made the heavens and the earth and everything in it. Woe to him who says the word awake, the silent stone arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Back of 2 and 20. I grew up on that scripture in my church that I grew up in. It was spoken every Sunday before church started. And we speak it today. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shibionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timah, the Holy One from Mount Parim. Yeah. His glory covered the heaven and the earth. Praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence and fever, followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual fields bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Kishon in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. Yeah. You divided the earth with rivers, and mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people. For salvation with your anointed, you struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. And I want to read that again. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. Yeah. You thrust through with his own arrow the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses through the heap of great water. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When it comes up to the people, he will invade them with his truth. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olives may fail, and the fields yield no food, so the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hill. To the chief musician with my stringed instrument. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And if we go back to chapter 1, life lesson, why do you, verse 13, you are pure eyes and behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in our Bible this morning, in our life principles, daily Bible, biblical principles for each day of the year. And again, I will tell everybody, if opportunity presents itself, get this Bible, because they are right now on back order. They are on back order because people are buying them. So I thank you for buying them. And I'm not plagued by InTouch. I just happen to love this Bible. And I am thankful for this awesome man of God who gives us life lessons that I know come from God. Because some of the things that I read from Dr. Stanley are things that I have already come into my own spirit. And I know that when God puts a thing in the wind, you hear it preached. You hear it taught from different people. And it's like, wow, that's why anointed knows anointed. And I say this, and it says, we might prefer a world where God instantly judges every wrong, but that is not the world we have. Yet in his time, excuse me, he will certainly judge and reward all good. In his time. And we are in Revelation in our New Testament, so we know that his time will come. Chapter 2, verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. God told Jeremiah, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Jeremiah 30:2. He also instructed Israel's kings to copy his words. Deuteronomy 17:18. Why? It's simple. We remember what we write. Did y'all catch that? We remember what we write. And I'm taking that to heart because I want to remember what I read. And so I know I got to write it down and make it plain. Thanking God for that word. I needed that. Chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by his faith, which is our title for this morning. Why does God contrast pride with faith? Because Lewis noted, pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. Faith, on the other hand, looks to God for everything. God seeks worshipers, not rivals. I'm going to read that again. Pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. Pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. Faith, on the other hand, looks to God for everything. God seeks worshipers, not rivals. Woo, what a word. Thank you, God. Chapter 3, verse 18. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How should we respond when our situation seems dire, even hopeless? What should we do when God appears silent, even uninterested? Oftentimes, trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. And I'm believing God for some mighty things in my life, in my church, in this ministry called Moving Forward. I'm believing God for some things. But God is saying, I got to get organized. So I'm working on organizing today, every day, trying to get myself in order so God can use me in a mighty way. So we all got to listen to what God says. And I love this life principle from Dr. Stanley this morning. And it says in Habakkuk 17 and 19, I'm so disappointed in the morning. I was just sure that deal would come through. This is one of those words. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, we had a lock on it. This is Dr. Stanley giving us a scenario. But a competitor edges out at the last minute. She felt crushed the whole weekend looking on. If only the basement hadn't flooded, she could have joined her friends for an unforgettable time of hiking and camping. Now she found herself stuck at home and alone, dealing with a faulty water pump and serious damage to her treasured possessions. Everyone has known the ache of unfulfillment, the sadness that comes when life moves in an unanticipated direction. Disappointment may come as a result of a change in circumstance, such as sudden reversal of plans, or it may be a more personal issue. If someone close to you behaves in a manner that lets you down, you may experience deep sensations of loss. If your disappointment comes as a result of a personal offense, it is tempting to lash out at one who has damaged your plans. The vision of idea you have cherished for so long now lies in ruins, and you don't know how to respond. Disappointment cuts so close to our sweetest dreams that we often find it difficult to sort through our swirling emotions. Disappointment afflicted even the hearts of those who knew Jesus. Years before Jesus died, even before he was born, someone disdained for a close relationship with Jesus faced unbelievable disappointment. The quiet carpenter lived a humble life and was betrothed to a young, godly woman named Mary. Like any Jewish man, he looked forward to the day when the one promised to him would become his wife. Then the news came. Imagine the emotions in Joseph's heart when he heard of Mary's pregnancy. He knew he was not responsible, and the hard facts seemed to confirm that Mary must have been unfaithful. What a devastating blow to Joseph's expectations. He knew the social consequences. People would surely talk, but it wasn't the threat of wagging tongues that bothered Joseph the most. It was of having to let Mary go. His vision of the future had shattered, and no option looked good. Matthew 1:19 gives insight into the heart of this man who pondered his course of action. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. If Joseph had been a hasty, rash, self-centered individual, he could have loudly defended his own innocence at the expense of Mary's feelings. He could have let her reputation be ruined. In his love for her, however, he did not give personal disappointment the upper hand. Privately and quietly, he decided to break his engagement to Mary. But God soon changed his mind. Can y'all say hallelujah? The Lord sent a special messenger to confirm Mary's extraordinary words to Joseph. It was true. Mary really was going to give birth to the Messiah. Joseph did not need to doubt that these confusing events were part of God's plan. He obeyed immediately and brought Mary home to live with him as a virgin until the birth of Jesus. God has a unique plan for your life, too, one that does not change according to unexpected circumstances. when you confront a situation that does not line up with your understanding of how God wants your life to proceed, you must stop and look to him for direction. Sometimes God allows disappointment to occur so that you will learn to rely on him more fully, to walk by faith and not by sight. But never forget that while disappointments are inevitable, discouragement is a choice. In the daily disappointments that threaten to consume your emotional resources and deflect your attention away from the Lord, you have real hope and a real choice for joy and abundant living in Christ. Circumstances do not control you, Jesus said. You never have to be the victim of your feelings. You can choose to look to God and listen, learn, and move ahead as you do. The withered and dead feelings places in your heart, the scars of your disappointment will melt away in God's restoring love. God does have blessings for you more than you picture, and in ways you cannot imagine. Let go of disappointment and the fear of hoping and trusting again. God holds your future in his hands, and you will never lose by looking forward to what he has in store. Hallelujah. I just want to say God has a blessing with your name on it. Zephaniah, in our book of Zephaniah, it says, Zephaniah. The author was Zephaniah. It was approximately 640 to 620 B.C. during the reign of King Josiah. A coming day of the Lord promised heavy judgment is the 10 words or less to describe this book. Zephaniah begins with a jarring prophecy. I will utterly consume all things from off the land. God declares in the book's second verse, people, animals, birds, fish will all perish, victims of God's wrath over Judah's idolatry. Other nearby nations will be punished as well in the fire of my jealousy. But there is hope in his mercy. God will one day restore a remnant of Israel that shall not do iniquity nor speak lies. Quote, but the great day of the Lord is near and hastens greatly. 1:14. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Unique and unusual about Zephaniah. Zephaniah gives more detail about himself than most of the minor prophets, identifying himself as a great-great-grandson of Hezekiah, probably the popular godly king of Judah. In 2 Chronicles 29. So what? God gave the people of Judah fair warning of his judgment, just as he has done with us. For Christians, the coming day of the Lord carries no fear. Woo! No fear, just faith. No fear, just faith. And in Zephaniah chapter 1, the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off men from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of them from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swears by Malcolm, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the ears. Well, you inhabitants of Midtash, for all the merchant people are cut down, all those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. That the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trembling and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuge. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah. Before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod as noonday, and Akron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you. For there shall be no inhabitants. The seacoast shall be pastures, with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down at evening. For the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnants of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place. Indeed, all the shores of the nation, you Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall be lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bittern shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. The voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, but ye will lay bare the cedar work. It is a rejoicing city that dwells securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none beside me. You better be careful with that arrogance. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his head. Chapter 3 of Zephaniah. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted to the oppressing cry. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. I am cut off nations. I have made the streets desolate with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction so that our dwelling will not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up from London. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdom, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. But then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day, you shall not be saved by any of your deeds in which you transgressed against me. But then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountains. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their midst, in their mouth, excuse me, nor a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flock and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Single daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom it reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth. when I return your captive before your eyes, says the Lord. And I just want to read a word, a few words. We're not going to get to Haggai today, but I will add it to our Christmas word, which it actually is anyway. It is a word for Christmas Day. And so we will get to that on Christmas Day, to Haggai. So we will have Haggai as well as our New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs, Revelations, again, Revelation, Psalm, Proverbs, and Haggai will be in our Sunday word. But we're going to go back to Zephaniah chapter 1 for a life lesson. And keep me in prayer. My voice is trying to go, but God's word is going forth. And what he says is, be silent in the presence of the Lord God. God calls us to silence before him for many reasons. His awesome power and glory surpasses all words. To hear his voice, we need to remain quiet and carefully listen. And anticipating his mighty words fills our mouth. We got to anticipate God's grace and his miracles and signs and wonders that he provides. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Complacency. A feeling of smug satisfaction is always dangerous, especially in the spiritual realm. God may look inactive to us, but he never is. He observes, he plans, he waits, and then he acts. We can't be complacent in our faith. We can't be complacent in our walk. And the word of God, seek the Lord, all you meek of the land, who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. A genuine heart for God always results in a genuine love for people, especially for the poor and oppressed. Seeking the Lord means seeking community justice along with personal righteousness. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 11, the Lord will be often to them. People shall worship him, each one, from his place, indeed, all the shores of the nation. The Lord wants the whole world to know him and serve him and worship him and love him. The gospel is for every kingdom, tribe, nation, and tongue on earth. And God commissions us to be his ambassadors. You know, and again, not trying to be cliche, but you may be the only Jesus that some people may see. Are you showing the light that is of Jesus? Or are you just being, I'm just going to be me? We can't have that I'm going to be me attitude, because me can be a hot mess. We have to have the love of Jesus. How can I endure in my faith during hard times? And we know people are going through. And this word from Dr. Stanley, I hope that it blesses your heart. You are God's masterpiece, and he has given you his word as a testimony to the love and joy he has for you. Zephaniah 3 and 17 says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices over you, though he knows you are in the process of becoming all that he has planned for you to become. You are not yet what you will be when you step into the eternal presence of God. And it says, until that time, God is patiently molding and shaping you into the image of his son. You never have a reason to give up. You are not alone. Jesus is with you. cheering you on to victory. He is at your side to strengthen and encourage you when you fix your eyes on him and not on your circumstances. You will begin to see life differently. Instead of thinking negatively, the Holy Spirit will teach you to think about the things of God, pure thoughts that honor Jesus Christ. God has pledged over and over to love you. He walks with you through disappointment and is never disillusioned by your wayward acts. He has seen that while on your own you can do nothing, he knows that through Christ you can succeed. And you will succeed. This does not mean that you won't suffer or feel pain. Jesus endured both, and yet he did not give up. He knew that in order to complete his mission, he would have to endure until the end. And he wanted more than anything else to accomplish the Father's will. How could he possibly bear the weight of all our sins and still remain victorious? God had given him an eternal perspective long before it happened. Jesus saw the resurrection as a completed fact. And after 3 days, he rose again from the grave to walk in victory. God gives you such victory through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can walk in victory because Jesus is your example and his spirit lives in you like colors on an artist's palette. God uses every frustration, fear, feeling of hopelessness, and every even temptation to bring you closer to him. And that is our word this morning. Please join me on Sunday as we move forward in the word on Christmas Day. And we will be coming. We will have our Psalms, our Proverbs, Revelations, and Haggai on Sunday. Sunday's show may be a little bit longer as we get through the word. Please bear with us as we move forward in God's word. We have approximately one more week to study and read before we are ending our word for this year on December the 31st. And I just want to say thank you, God, this morning for all of you as my voice is trying to go. But I know that God is in control. And as we go forth in the word from our sister Carolyn, and the word is, it's easy to get discouraged all up in the word this morning. When it feels like things are not going right, trust God. He has your back. Have a blessed and favored Friday, family. That's all we have this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you, for those that have to leave exactly at 8. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one for each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. I pray traveling grace for those who travel, and I thank God again for this day. Keep me in your prayers as I travel the highway this morning to go to work, and I thank God that he has blessed me with a great God. So praising God this morning and thanking him for each and every one of you. Be blessed and have a wonderful Christmas weekend. If you can't join us on Christmas Day, Merry Christmas. And I pray God's blessing over you and your family. Be blessed, family, and have a great day. It is a wrap because I'm about to lose my voice, but I thank God for his word. It's a mighty, awesome word. Thank you so much, family. It is a wrap this morning.